What's up, guys? Welcome back to the show. This is Keeping It Raw. I am Raw, and the point of today's show is to talk about some things. Basically, it's for me to talk through some things that have been on my mind, and I want to see if it makes sense. So that's what the point of this show is. Now, today, though, I have a very important question for you, okay? Listen closely. Do you love to read, but also at the same time, do you hate to read? So I've recently partnered with Audible, and it's an Amazon company because why not? Amazon owns everything. Why not? Jeff Bezos is the man. Why not? Now, if you like to read and then also hate it, I've got an option for you that allows you to be immersed in the power of words, but also have the freedom to do whatever. I mean, listen, if it wasn't for a company like Audible and you didn't read books, you'd probably hire your best friend to read for you, right? I mean, let's run down the scenario. So you hire your best friend to come read for you, and you got to tell him, hey, listen, I'm going to want you to read this book, but you also got to start when I tell you, and then you got to stop when I tell you. And then what if they stutter, right? And then what if they mess up? Or what if they say something and you couldn't understand what they said and you'd have to have them repeat it? You don't have to do that with Audible. You don't have to worry about whether your friend can even read. You just go to audibletrials.com/keepingitraw. They'll give you a free 30-day trial. You can cancel anytime you want. Okay, no commitment, no contract. That doesn't matter. That again is audibletrials.com/keepingitraw. Free 30-day trial. And by the way, I do get paid if you do that. Anyways, this episode is all about a dilemma that I'm facing, an idea that I have, and you're basically going to listen to me talking through it. This is Keeping It Raw.
Yo, what's up? You're listening to the Keeping It Raw podcast.
And this is 2020.
Welcome back to the show. This is Keeping It Raw. The song in the background is Small Town. It is by John Cougar Mellencamp, and it's a fitting song for what we're going to be talking about today. So over the last couple of years, I've had this dilemma going on, right? And it's regarding whether I should run for local politics, specifically run for a mayorship in my small town. Now, I have these ideas, and I'm going to be talking about those today, whether something like this is even worth pursuing. But really, what you're going to be listening to today is me vocalizing what's been going on in the back of my head. Now, I guess I should start at the beginning, the origination. That's a very good place to start. I was born here in this small town through the military, and then my family moved back out to California. Then when I was 12, we moved back out here. And I've been here ever since. I grew up here. I have had my jobs here. I bought my house here, you know, started my family here. And so because of all that, I'm still here. I chose to be here, you know, chose to do all these things and stay local. I knew that I wanted to be a bigger part of my community, and when I bought my house, I knew that I was buying it with the intent of doing more. Yeah, I do volunteer with my church, you know, and we've done many events like backpack giveaways, we've done hurricane relief, a lot of different, we've done even giveaway of clothing, and I do a lot of the social media stuff for that. I've also volunteered as a firefighter for a couple years. And so there are a lot of different aspects in my life where I feel like I'm good at being a servant. And so that's such a political thing to say, isn't it? I'm sorry, you're getting it raw. Those are things that even you can look at your life and say, yeah, I do this too and this and that, and I volunteer and do this and that. And so that's good. You know, that's what we're meant to do. We're meant to help each other, and we're meant to help our community, really. Now, a couple years ago, about 10 years ago, there was a guy that ran for mayor here in my small town that made it seem cool, I guess is the right word to say. Chris Ray, he ran a great campaign. Chris Ray had great ideas, and he had this fresh take that couldn't be shuttered, and people really bought into it. And I felt like, man, if I ever had a fresh take on things, that would be a great way to use it, right? If I was ever thinking of ideas like that, then man, I mean, I could do the same thing. So since then, I've kind of paid attention to my town's politics to try to understand people and then to also understand what's going right and wrong. Now, here's the thing that you can empathize with. Because you live where you live, just think of it. Now, you're driving down your street. You look at somebody's yard and you think, man, if that person could take care of their yard, this would be a better neighborhood. Or if there were sidewalks instead of people walking in the streets, this would be a lot safer place. If they fixed these signs over here, or fixed this curb, or mowed this long strip of highway, this would be a better street. If they fixed this at this store and that on that store, people would shop here more. And so there are things like that that you realize you because you are around your area so much, you see the area so much, you know, skepticism, criticism, whatever you want to call it, it's really just weaknesses that you're seeing. And you have ideas just like I do. And so I guess the point of this was me realizing the weaknesses, but not only seeing the problems, but also working out in my mind solutions to these problems. It's not just about if my neighbor wouldn't cut their grass, it would be a better neighborhood, right? It's not just stuff like that. It's got to be bigger. And so that's what I've been thinking about recently. Now, because I've been paying attention to local politics, man, I've got some crazy stories and I'm going to get to that too. But because I've been paying attention to local politics, one of the people that have been running over the last three campaigns I've been tuning into, one of the people that ran and lost had a idea to increase communication. They felt like the communication about what the town was doing or striving for, it wasn't out there. So the community didn't feel like they knew what was going on. That's a good message. That's okay. It wasn't strong enough, in my opinion, but okay, if you want to run on that, you need something stronger, right? If you hope to capture people's belief, I guess, or vote, interest. And another person, they were running on economic development, trying to build up the city and bring in more revenue by bringing in businesses. And of course, that's important. That's always at the priority of every municipality. But that, again, without specifics, it's hard to buy into a plan. And so, man, I've been thinking about all these things. Like, if it's something I want to do, then unless I have a fresh idea, something that's going to capture people's interest, then I'm just not going to do it. And then slowly over the last couple months, honestly, I have had these ideas and I'm just... So now you're going to be hearing my ideas. Just to be clear, these are just ideas. I have not made any kind of decision. And it would be a whole year until I could even file for a candidacy if this were to happen. So these are... Now, my ideas, though, I should say, center around one major topic, and that is beautification of my city. I think it's important that we beautify the city. Main reason is when you have a beautiful city, you have people who are happy to live there. It's a pride of ownership, right? Then also, if you have a pride of ownership and you have a beautiful city, that alone will attract more people to the city. It'll attract tourism, it'll attract businesses, because who wouldn't want to do business in a city that is beautiful? And so when you're talking about a town like my town, who has a lot of dilapidated buildings, old areas and old property run down, there are things that you have to do in order to make sure that these eyesores are removed. A couple mayors ago, Chris Ray, he was a great mayor. He was the one that initially piqued my interest into pursuing anything like this in the future. He started this initiative of tearing down dilapidated buildings and did great. Every time a building go down, you knew about it and you could see it. And it was just like so great to see such an eyesore removed. And it's based on that. That's one of the initiatives that needs to be picked back up. You need to continue to tear down old decrepit buildings. Now, that's the first stage. The second stage is to beautify the city. My idea was to build gateways into the city, somewhat like an entry wall into the city that you can create a mural on. And so if we can get local artists to create a mural as a shrine to our community, whether it's our history or whether it's the strong military presence and essentially just a shrine to our community as a thank you, as an identity piece that enables people to travel into the city. It serves a couple of different purposes, I guess. The first is that it would hide some of the neighborhoods that are on the entryway into the city that might have, rough terrain, rough backyards. And so when you're traveling into the city, you kind of see those kind of things. And if we can build an entryway point, a gateway into the city in which a mural is there as a shrine, as an homage to the city, I think people would appreciate that. And I think that would speak volumes into how people felt about their community. The third thing that I wanted to do, which is the biggest feat of all, really, of all my ideas, is there's this building called the Starlight Motel that was recently swept away in a hurricane. We have this river, it's called Little River, that runs through a part of the north part of our city, and it runs through two major highways of our city that when we get heavy rain, or as a result of hurricanes get heavy rain, this river overflows its banks. And because of that, it overflowed one of the banks and it washed away this creepy looking motel. It was the sketchiest motel in our community. It's one of the sketchiest I've ever seen, called the Starlight Motel. It made news. You can look it up. You can Google it. Starlight Motel, Spring Lake, North Carolina. And when that thing went down, I don't know a citizen in the town that wasn't happy about it. I mean, I'm sad somebody lost their business for whatever business it was, but it was the sketchiest, ugliest looking attraction in our city. Another thing is, it was one of the first things that you saw when you came into the city. It did not paint a good picture for us. And I'm sure that created what a lot of people presume was the identity of our city, because that was the first major business that you saw when you drove in. I just thought it was ugly. Everybody thought it was ugly, okay, if I'm honest. And I remember seeing on the news too, the owners who don't live locally, they were like, we're going to rebuild. And we're like, no, don't rebuild. We do not want you guys coming back with another crappy motel. Anyway, so those are things that you can't say as a mayor, by the way. however, that, in my opinion, created a blessing. It created an opportunity that I have this idea regarding that lot, okay, that this lot is for sale. They, after months and months, finally tore down the rest of the building and cleared the lot. And as mayor, what I would do is I would urge the city to purchase this lot and have it run by our Parks and Rec department. My vision for this lot is to purchase the lot, clear it out, let Parks and Rec take it over, clear the trees next to the river, and create an opportunity for small businesses, even sheds of businesses, to come in and take over that property. What I mean is, we have next to it a kayak service. And if we could expand that area to where that business or another business like it can come in and on the Little River create a kayaking attraction with kayaks or with lazy river inner tubes. It's a free-flowing river that would, I think, attract a lot of people, a lot of tourists to our little small town. It would create an attraction for people to enjoy our city. And who, raise your hand right now if you wouldn't want to go down a lazy river inner tube. If we can create that here, I think that would blow away a lot of the skepticism that people have about our small town. I think it's a great opportunity for us to elevate us and also really embrace the natural landscape that we already have. So that's my goal, is to take that opportunity and make something great. Okay. We're a city that's limited. On one side, we have Fort Bragg, which is closed off. You know, we can't expand. And on the other side, we have properties that the city has made it difficult to be able to annex if they wanted to. When you can't stretch out any further and everything inside of your reach is already taken up, you've got to use what you have. You've got to beautify what you have in order to grow. Okay. We're not going to have a great industry, right? Our population's too small. We don't have a lot of land to give away. But there are other ways that you can entice businesses to come in. You can entice homeowners to come in, you know. And one of my ideas was to give back a portion of your taxes that the city doesn't need. See, okay, here's something that happened recently in my city. We saved money. Our budget, our city saved money. And that means that the local government currently are good stewards, right? Saving money, that's important. Here's what happened with that money. Instead of what I think should have happened is whatever you don't use, you give back to the citizens that live in that city. I mean, that could have been $100 per citizen that would have gotten that back, gotten their money back. And in my small town, however small it is, my taxes are high. My taxes are at minimum $1,300 a year. If I'd have gotten $100 of that back, imagine how happy, imagine how mind-blowing that would be for not only me, but for everybody to have gotten. That money could have gone right back into the community. So that's my thought. This is what the city decided to do. They decided to take that money and give it to an economic developer. This economic developer took that money and spent over $100,000. They gave this guy a credit card, and he had spent over $100,000 and has yet to produce a single business. An economic developer, if you don't know, is somebody who goes outside of the city to businesses and bring them into the city. They go out to entice somebody to come back in and bring business to the city. That's the point. That's what they're getting paid for. They spent $100,000. We will not see that money again. And they have not produced anything. Oh, it was a rough transition. That was a bad decision. And so, of course, people are complaining because it's like, well, you just gave somebody a credit card to spend. And of course, and they gave them no regulation, by the way. They did not say, here's your limit. They didn't say, please spend this much. No, no limit. Just here's the town credit card. Have at it. A town, by the way, that 3 or 4 years ago had gotten in trouble for their credit card spending. So that decision was made. It's whatever. There's nothing I can do about it, and there's nothing that will be. But I'm just saying, if we had taken that money and spent it on or given it back what we didn't use, that would have been. There's only so much business that can be brought into the city that it's. You've got to assess whether it's even worth it to hire a big name to go out and find it and give them an unlimited credit card. I mean, you just can't do that kind of thing. You just can't do it. So in my opinion, beautifying the city is important, creating an attraction for not only people to be happy here, but also for people to be able to come, tourists to be able to come into the city and also attract businesses. If you have a good lifestyle, a good way of life here, businesses are going to come. And so one thing that I would also push is bringing in a Chick-fil-A or a Starbucks into the city. Okay, I should rephrase that. Chick-fil-A and or a Starbucks. I think that's important. I'm not big into bringing in just another chain restaurant. But when you come to think of it, these are things that would entice more people to come. Big names, right? So I'm not an advocate for another fast food joint. But I think it's a great idea for people to be able to come into the city, because the problem we have in my town is people in my town ever wanting to do anything or ever wanting to go out are going to other cities to do it. They rarely stay in the city, okay? We have this huge highway, and over the last 10 years, they built essentially just a huge, massive highway through our city. And some people have said, well, that's what's driving out businesses, right? Some people have said, and so there are things, you're not the Department of Transportation, you're not the DOT, you're not going to be able to change roads and highways that have already been done. And so a lot of people have complained, well, what you should do is you should go ahead and work with the DOT to cut it off, you know, so that people aren't just driving 60 miles an hour through our city, they can actually stop. And so, that would have been great, you know, hindsight 2020, that would have been great 10 years ago to think about, but we're 10 years past and this highway's already built. You're not going to get the Department of Transportation to just cut off what they've already spent millions of dollars doing. So you have to work around that and you have to put that behind you. You can't change what's already been done like that. You have to look forward, and one way to look forward is by beautifying the city and creating this attraction that will draw more people here and cause people to stop. And that's the only way you're going to get people to stop. A lot of the citizens here, they want a bowling alley or a movie theater, and that has its place. I think a movie theater in this area would be great because we have at least a 30-minute drive to the next movie theater, and so that would stop people on the other side of us driving through us to get to a movie theater. So sure, that's a possibility. The other thing that has been going on in my small town is businesses closing, big name businesses like CC's Pizza. It's a pizza buffet place. They're pretty big around here, and they recently closed their doors to our town. There's Big Lots. Big Lots recently closed down, and a lot of people were initially confused about why. They initially thought it was because of the highway. People are just driving through the city and all this stuff, and that's not the case. So with these two big businesses, let me tell you what's going on. Their landlords are the reason they shut down. They closed their doors. CC's, they were trying to expand. They were trying to do upgrades, but their lease and their landlord were refusing. So they just said, well, then we'll just close up shop here. Big Lots, they were having roof damage. They were having leaks in their stock room, and they were losing stock because of the leak and all the water. The developers who live in Atlanta decided that they've never even come to Spring Lake, decided that they were not going to fix the problem, and because of that, Big Lots had to close their doors. And so when it comes to things like this, you have business owners that don't come into Spring Lake to maintain their properties. What is the benefit to having? Why wouldn't they fix their building? Well, what a lot of people don't realize is that businesses who have empty buildings use those empty buildings as tax write-offs. So this developer that's based out of Atlanta has an empty building in Spring Lake, North Carolina, and guess who cares? Nobody. Because of that, you have a dilapidated building that's losing its value, that's a liability, but also an asset because it's a structure. That's a tax write-off. And so what we need to do is create an incentive for them to fix up their building or demolish it. How do you do that? Well, you find them. You find these business owners that are out of town that have no incentive to fix up their properties. You find them. That's the only way you incentivize them to fix up their properties and rent it out, open their doors to businesses. And, you know, there are things that are always going to be in every city. Every city is going to want to see their police presence even more, right? Every city is going to want speed bumps in their neighborhoods, okay? Every city is going to be wanting communication, and they want their tax dollars accounted for and such, and those are all important, but those aren't things that aren't necessarily going to win people over. And so I think these are some fresh ideas that will help push that. Now, I've been to a couple I've been to a lot of town council meetings, and I've heard some crazy things recently. And so, for instance, and they were wanting to name their our police department building. We have two different police department buildings. Well, one of them, they were naming it after a citizen in the community, okay, that passed away, longtime resident and such. Okay, sure. Name it after him. Okay. Now, that building in this recent meeting, they had already voted on that, by the way. They're going to name it the guy's name. So in a recent meeting, they said, well, this building, we actually walked inside and it's a police station, sure, but it's about to be condemned because it's on its last leg. So because of that, we want to name a future building after him as well. Sure, you already have that. Sure, that's fine. We also, because of that, want to name the bridge. We only have one bridge in our small town. We want to name the bridge after him. And so, you know, one of the ladies, alderwoman, she says, so you want to name both police, you want to name the building after him, any future police building after him, and you also want to name the bridge after him. He said, yeah, we want to do that. She's like, well, I mean, I don't have another name to counter that with, so I mean, I guess that's fine. And so then they go on, and the next item on the agenda is the lady wants to name a park after a resident. You know, he was a longtime resident as well, and he lived in that neighborhood where the park is. So she wants to name the park after him, and his name is Rex Perry. So another gentleman speaks up and says, well, are there any other names in contention for that? Are there any other names being considered for that park? And she says, well, no. I mean, do you want it named after you? And the whole place erupted in laughter. I mean, she kind of crossed the line with that question, but it was funny. I mean, it was a good point, you know, like, and so she said, you know, you don't want to name it after him. That's fine. You going to name it after yourself? Do you have another name? I mean, I didn't hear you hearing that when we're naming the police department and the bridge after the same person. You didn't say anything then. Did you have a question then? Why are you having a question now? So it was pretty funny. And there are moments in there that were like, back and forth like that, local politics. But I think overall it was it's pretty interesting getting to those meetings and meeting people and going through things. One of the fire chief that is there now in my town is somebody that I was volunteering with at our old station. So getting to talk to him again is great, and him being elevated to the chief, that was pretty unique. So I congratulated him. Police chief there, Troy McDuffie, he's great. He's really helped turn our town around. And I heard through the grapevine that in the next couple of years, he's probably going to retire. And it's probably not something I should be saying, but it's based on that. I mean, the town owes him a lot and should be naming that police department after him. I mean, he turned it around after we lost our city 10 years ago, lost our policing powers because the police chief was caught up in kidnapping, bribery, stealing evidence. I mean, you name it, this guy was doing it. The FBI came in undercover and basically caught him. They took away our policing powers for like a year and a half to 2 years. And so Troy McDuffie, he was the one that, you know, he was one of them that came in and really turned the city around. And so we owe a lot to him for what he did. And our police department is outstanding, you know. And anyway, so we owe him a debt we're not going to be able to repay. Anyway, so those are some of my thoughts. And I feel like, you know, one of the things that came up in the town council meeting was this property owner wanting to be annexed into the city. He was right outside the city limits, but he wanted to be annexed. He already has the city water, other services. They're fine with being serviced out there. The only thing that wasn't intact was his sewer. So he has a septic tank versus a sewer line. And the city charter requires you, if you're annexed into the city, to pay for a sewer line to get into the city. And I just thought, there was some kind of debate going back and forth about this, and all I kept thinking was, why don't we just make an exception? If somebody wants to be annexed into the city, why don't we just make an exception for them to pay it themselves or to not pay it and keep a septic tank, you know? And those are the kind of things I don't understand. Like, why not just give them the option? You know, whenever somebody gets annexed into our city, which means, okay, we have a property line of our city, and you're on the other side of that property line, the problem with being on the outside of that property line, you pay higher bills. So you pay higher water bills, other services, you pay a higher cost for it. If you were to get annexed into the city, then you would get the fee that and the rate that the citizens inside the city limits get. But you sometimes don't want to be annexed into the city, even though you may get a lower water bill, because at the end of the year, you have to pay taxes on being in the city, right? So it might not be worth it, you know, to be annexed. So what I thought was, because the city should be reaching out further than its current city limits, that you give people the option. If somebody wants to be annexed into the city, why don't you give them like a 10-year deferral on taxes, paying taxes? If you give them a 10-year deferral, that means at the end of 10 years, they do have to start paying taxes, and they are also getting a better rate. But it gives them the opportunity to pay less in the long run. It's just an option. So, you know, there are a couple of different things that you can do to incentivize people to work with you. You want to create an environment where people are more willing to work with you than work against you. And when you're working with a small town, there's only so much outreach you can do. So why not capitalize on what you already have? Anyway, so those are my thoughts on doing that. Now, here are my thoughts on whether I'm going to pursue this or not. It is over a year. In about a year is when I would have to make a decision, right? Technically, a year and five months is probably when I have at the latest to file for anything like that. But in the meantime, I've just got to figure out if that's something I'm willing to do. Also, if I don't run for mayor, can I run for alderman? And so you get more vote as the alderman, but you set the pathway as the mayor. And there are a lot of politics in the alderman area that, is kind of tough. So while I feel like I have fresh ideas in terms of how to, you know, get more revenue and how to increase the standard of living here, I know that the current administration is stagnant, have stale ideas that, while, like I said, they have a great responsibility, a great stewardship, they've been great stewards, great placeholders, I guess. That's kind of insulting to say that. I shouldn't say it, but essentially they're great placeholders, okay? But going forward, we need action. We need an idea. We need a plan. And so if I feel as strong next year as I do right now, then yeah, I'll run with the support of a lot of people that I'll need. But I'll run. So it's just a matter of time. Time will tell. And I want to be ahead of the game. So that means if I have to get yard signs and things like that, I would have to do that. I would want to do that early. Typically, let's say the election's in November, you typically start putting yard signs out July, August. I would want to put them out in February, March. I have a kind of a difficult name, and I think that's probably my greatest weakness. I shouldn't say that. It's probably not my greatest weakness. But me having an unfamiliar name to people, or I shouldn't say unfamiliar, I should say a hard to pronounce name, naturally. When you're in a voting booth, there are sometimes when you're, if you've ever voted, you don't know every name on the ticket, right? You don't know every name that is every person that's a candidate, and some you can't pronounce. And so I've made the decision plenty of times based on what their name looked like or what the name sounded like. And so that's why I would initiate a campaign earlier. Well, that's why I would get yard signs so I can get name recognition out earlier. I think that's important. It's a big task, and I'd want to decide pretty early on whether that was what I was going to pursue or not. But anyway, those are my thoughts. Thanks for listening. I got to pray about it. Anyway, there are other things in my life that are a priority that I have to account for first. Responsibilities that need to be met first. So recognizing that is pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting to have ideas like that. And, you know, I've struggled with how to present those ideas to the current administration, or, you know, if I choose not to run, you know, the next administration and so on. Like, do I just give out all my ideas and, or do I just hold on to my ideas and over the next year not say anything to anybody and just do it myself as if it was fresh and new, you know? Or do I just say them now and then next year I won't have anything to run on because I already gave out all my ideas and they either got shot down or they were implemented? So anyway, having those thoughts, and then the thing that seems daunting as ever is learning Robert's Rules of Order. You know, I second that motion. Point of order, unready, are you ready to vote? You know, and are you ready to hear the question? All those kind of things, ready to adjourn, can I have a second? So those things are slightly daunting to think of. But I guess you could learn it just like you can learn anything else. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. What are your thoughts? Anyway, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you've listened this long, if you've intrigued me this long, this is probably my longest podcast solo, by the way, then you can subscribe to the podcast and get updates on future ones. And you can also listen to my old ones. But you can reach out to me on social media. In most places, it's Keeping It Raw, Twitter and Instagram. Also, keepingitraw@gmail.com. If you have any questions, any ideas, or you just want to say, hey, what's up? But thanks for listening. This is Keeping It Raw. Have a great day.
Yo, what's up? You're listening to the Keeping It Raw podcast.